Our scripture for today backs up to Luke chapter 14. And it follows a story that we shared earlier about folks who were vying for the best seats at a banquet. Before we read the scripture, I invite you to bow with me once more for prayer. Oh God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As the scriptures are read, we will listen for your voice. By your Spirit, lead us out of our fears and into the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of our souls. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Listen, hear the word of God. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported all this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' So the master said to the slave, 'Then go out into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The word of the Lord. Let's set this in context. As I said, it was at a Sabbath dinner where they'd been discussing seating arrangements and not vying for the best seats. And Jesus had said when they threw a party, they should invite the least among them. And with that, Jesus describes a party that is out of this world, and it's one that you and I have been invited to in the kingdom of God. Also, remember that Jesus was experiencing increasing friction with the religious leaders of his day. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were among Jesus' own Jewish people, the ones he had come to reveal God's new day dawning to, and yet his own people were rejecting him and rejecting his teachings. All the while, lowly shepherds, foreign magi, local fishermen, prostitutes, lepers, the once possessed, the poor and dispossessed, and even despised Samaritans were embracing Jesus' message, and they were following him as disciples. In Luke 14:17, the party host sends word to his long-invited guest, "Come, everything is now ready for the party to begin." It's taken me a long time to understand that the Bible is a lot more about feasting than it is about fasting, and it's more about grace than guilt. It's more about delight than duty, and it's more about God's abundance than it is scarcity. The Bible has many more stories of people rejoicing in the fellowship of one another and in the presence of God. Think back. During his ministry, Jesus started out his miraculous presence by changing water into wine at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. And then he took a small boy's lunch and fed a crowd of over 5,000 people. Jesus also told stories of great rejoicing where lost sheep were found and wayward boys came home. The dinner guest exclaims, "Blessed are those who eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Oh, the sheer joy of those who eat at the great banquet that is prepared by God for all of us. However you explain God's grace, the unearned, unmerited, undeserved love of God given to us is amazing to experience. It's so amazing that it's overwhelming to us that it can be real. It's freely given. It's undeserved, but it's ours as a gracious gift. And the host who gives these gifts says, all is prepared. Come to the table. The dinner is ready. Such marvelous grace is good news. Grace is getting better than we deserve in this lifetime. And it's all because of God's great love for us. Like the lyrics of an old hymn I remember, and perhaps you do too, grace that is greater than our sin. It said, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? And the refrain said, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. God's grace gives us so much more in life than any of us deserve. And this same gracious and loving God invites you and me to a party that is out of this world. And he tries to show us something about his generosity of style and the way that he likes to celebrate to inspire us to similar ways of living. And the good news is there's a seat for you and for me at the table. And the host says, come to the table of grace. In his song titled The Table, Chris Tomlin beautifully describes the gracious gathering this way. He says, I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at his table, and I'm abbreviating. There's peace at the table of the Lord. I won't worry anymore at his table. There's healing at the table of the Lord, and I won't suffer anymore at his table. He says, I know he has a place for me, and what joy will fill my heart with the saints around the mercy seat of God. And then this refrain, come, all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light. He is able, he will restore at the table of the Lord. And then he ends by saying, I'm invited to the table of the Lord. Come just as you are to his table. What a surprising moment in this parable when the original guests who were all invited all began to make excuses and did not accept the host invitation to come to the table. Their lives were simply too busy. Perhaps you're cautious about such invitations to come to a feast that you've never been to before. There are things you want to ask about dinner reservations before you're willing to commit. Like, what are you selling? Seems like the older I get, the more frequently I get that wonderful invitation to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's a free meal for me and a family member. They just want all my money and the ability to manage it for me and to make money off of that, which wouldn't do them a whole lot of good, but I'll take that meal knowing what the deal is, right? Or maybe you want to ask who else is going to be there, because if you're going to give up an evening of your life, you don't want to be miserably stuck between people that you don't find interesting or fun to be with. Now, maybe you don't have these thoughts, but I'm simply voicing my own, okay? Each of the guests in our story had what to them seemed like a legitimate excuse that kept them away. And I wonder about us. Are we dubious about God's intent when God invites us freely to come to the table? Are we afraid of the company we might have to keep if we accept God's invitation to the table? Look around you. These are the characters you'll be sharing with. And not only them, but those people out there, you know who those people are. Whoever those people are to you, they may also be present at the table. I can assure you that all the guests will have some important things in common with us. First of all is that Jesus Christ, the host and Savior, is the same one who invites us all. Second, all of us who gather are sinners, saved by grace. Third, that we're all beloved children of God in whom Christ dwells and delights. And fourth, as we learned as children,